Just want to let you know as we start here, there are announcements that are on the website, just some updates on things that are going on at the church, some things that are not going to be going on in church, and just a bit of an overview of what's going to be happening as we go through a very interesting and potentially difficult time. So I encourage you guys to go and listen to those announcements, and please stay up to date. As a church, we are doing our very best to keep our congregation updated on what's going on and why those decisions are being made. So please take a moment and check those out. Well, we're going to take a little break from the book of Matthew as we've been working our way through Matthew here for the last year or so. And I wanted to take just some time to talk about a biblical perspective about what's going on in our world and how it affects our fellowship of believers. Obviously, you are listening to this not in a church today, but you may be listening to it on your couch or as you drive in the car or whatever. And it's very obvious that we are not gathering together as a body of believers. And interestingly, gathering together is one of the most important things we do as followers of Jesus Christ. It's not something we do simply out of habit or out of obligation. But gathering together as followers of Jesus Christ is something that is urged by the Bible itself. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22 say this: "Consequently, there are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." See, Ephesians tells us that we meet together because we are a family and we're tied together through Jesus Christ. And God takes this group of people, this body of believers, and he uses its many unique parts to make something very beautiful. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, when he writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we are all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." The Bible even goes as far as to encourage us to make it a point in our lives to meet together regularly. Hebrews 10:25 says this: "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The Bible has a lot to say about us gathering together. It is not something that we're meant to do out of habit or out of ritual or even out of guilt. It is a daily part. It is how God takes his followers and binds them together. In light of all the Bible has to say about the power and importance of meeting together, there needs to be an important reason for us not to meet. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. Many of you are used to gathering together, and there's a sense of missing that we are unable to do so. The Bible encourages us and tells us there's great power in a body of believers. So what happens when that body of believers doesn't meet? Well, and why would we not meet? Well, 2 weeks ago, we finished a two-week study of what Jesus calls the greatest command. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus says this: "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Gathering together to worship God certainly fits into loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind. But Jesus says that loving God without loving our neighbor is not true love for God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." See, it's not enough for us to just proclaim my love for God. But my love for God is demonstrated in the things I do for him and the things I do for others. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells about a judgment in which God asks about the things that we did for others. And after asking about how people showed their love for others, he had this to say in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Simply put, a love for God that does not care about the world around them is not a real love for God. I'm not an expert in infectious diseases. I'm not a statistician with models about what happens when viruses like this make their way through a population. Like everyone else, I struggle to determine what is real and what is speculation. That being said, as someone who loves Jesus Christ, it is important for me to be a person and for us to be a church that cares deeply for the needs of those who are around us. So if by worshiping in our homes instead of in this building, we can stop or even just slow the spread of this virus and keep those in our own congregation and others that God has told us to love safer, then we should. In my life, loving my neighbor has taken on many forms. From checking on someone's house while they're away to taking someone to a doctor's appointment, there are many, many different ways that we love our neighbor. Loving our neighbor means knowing what your neighbor needs and then being willing to do it. So for us today, loving our neighbor, and frankly, loving ourselves, is taking on the form of us worshiping in our homes and worshiping in our families instead of worshiping in the bigger body of believers. Brothers and sisters, this too will pass. Many times in church history, in the history of followers of Jesus Christ, whether it is persecution, whether it is natural disaster, whether it is diseases, Christians have been scattered. Christians have been forced to worship God on their own or in small groups. There will come a day where we will come back together and we will worship together in spirit and in truth. But today, we love our neighbors. We love our community. And we worship God from our homes. I've shared this story before, but I think it's very important in what we're going through now. There was once a little boy who was walking along the beach. And all of a sudden, he came upon thousands of starfish that had washed up on the beach. The tide was going out, and for some strange reason, the starfish ended up stuck on the beach. They were all doomed because they would not survive being out of the water in the hot sun until the next high tide. The little boy realized this and frantically started picking up starfish and throwing them one at a time back into the water. A man who was walking along the beach saw the boy doing this and yelled at the boy, "Son, what in the world are you doing? Don't you know that there are thousands of starfish on this beach? You don't know, and don't know that this beach goes on for miles and miles? There's no way in the world you can save all those starfish." The little boy thought about that for a moment, then turned to the man. He picked up a starfish and said, "Yeah, I know. But I can save this one." and he heaved it as far as he could back into the ocean. The reality is there's far more that we don't know than we do. But if we can make a difference, even if it's a small one, even if us meeting at home for a week or 2 weeks or more means that we can make a difference in our neighbor's life or even save our neighbor's life, then we should. Because to God, each person matters. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever, anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If we have the opportunity to do good to our neighbor, even if it inconveniences us, even if it takes away from us something that we love and look forward to week after week, if we can make a difference, we should. Thank you for loving your neighbor. Thank you for loving God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And again, this day is maybe not the day we would have drawn out, but no day catches you off guard. And every day is an opportunity to love you with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. It is also an opportunity for us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So Lord, we pray for our neighbors. We pray for our community. We pray for this world that we live in. For you wish for none to perish, but for everyone to have everlasting life. And that is our desire too. So if we can proclaim the good news of your Son by loving people, by staying home and worshiping you from our houses, Lord, if this is how we can be good neighbors, Lord, then that's what we'll do. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that even in these difficult times, we have hope. We have hope that goes beyond vaccinations. We have hope that goes beyond viruses. We have hopes that go beyond what our government tells us. That no matter what happens in this life, the best life is still yet to come. So Lord, we thank you for this church. I thank you for the people in it. I thank you that you love this community and this world, and that even in these difficult times, you are active and working. Lord, we want to work with you, even if that looks a little different than what we're used to. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.